5:30, and as you know, that means the return of J.R. Bob Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius. We continue this week with Mr. Dobbs and his rhetoric, perhaps more spitting, his explanation of his position on the Church. We continue also with Media Barrage Tape number 5, Bob Attack, and that comes up right after movie time. To an exquisite taste in music. Welcome back to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto, the only station, as far as I know, in the city that, well, has touched upon Subgenius. Before we go on, Mr. Dobbs, I've given away all 4 pair of tickets for the Varoshi Fame show, so maybe they'll be giving away more tickets later. So that's why you're calling. The red light is the ominous red light. Everything's okay. Okay, welcome back. Now it is 5:32. We are a little bit late. I'm sorry. But
what is that gung? I've heard that all day long. Did you hear that?
You just hit the microphone, I think.
No, maybe the desk did.
Does that sound like... Yeah.
Okay. It makes great noises.
I
thought it was on Newswave a lot.
Oh, really?
I thought of something inside the mic.
Well...
Okay, it's very sensitive.
Sorry, yeah.
5:32.
Welcome back to this edition of the Church of the Subgenius. And welcome back, J.R. Bob Dobbs. Well, last week you went into something of a trance. You were communicating with forces that perhaps some of our listeners weren't familiar with. And how are you going to follow that up this week?
Well, always something dropping in my lap. You weren't here the week that Mikhail Gorbachev sent me a telegram. I don't think that was Mike Hansen. Well, his arch rival, and I guess enemy, got jealous and wanted some advice, so he sent me a telegram. See? It's just when that moves slightly. I see. So this man who sent me the telegram is, of course, Lyndon LaRouche. Now, LaRouche has asked me to bear sympathy on his situation, which is that he's running for president after Labor Day, be campaigning actively in the United States, and has to appear in court at the same time. Interesting situation for Mr. LaRouche. But he says he has a feeling he'd like to have a better understanding of process pattern recognition while he goes on campaigning. So I thought I'd elaborate on that. Maybe the particular themes we talked about last week, like the harmonic bobbergings, right, we can do later. But immediately, Mr. LaRouche, the aspects for understanding process pattern recognition is that when Bob knowledge is communicated, it begins with an extension of itself, an expression, a statement, or an apparatus. That amplifies a mood or apparatus, hard or soft, or situation. Now, that becomes an environment for a moment or so, however long it lasts. The process is that it immediately obsolesces, this is phase two, the previous mood, apparatus, hard or soft situation that preceded it. Now, the discovery, post-Hegelian discovery of Bob knowledge, is that there's not a dialectic between what was obsolete and what is now prominent. Included in that is the retrieval aspect. Something that was obsolete before these two situations, and before that was a situation in itself, in extension, that which was pushed aside is retrieved, and it usually has the characteristics of the situation, statement, hard or soft, that I have just made, but it's not exactly the same. It is brought back. Now, when this process, those first three phases, are in interaction with each other, the extension, the obsolescence, and the retrieval, they then push into their opposite. The first phase pushes into its opposite characteristics. And that is the key to Bob knowledge in the process of his communication, these four phases. Now, they either happen sequentially or simultaneously, depending on how long you're looking or experiencing the situation. Depends on the time frame. So, Mr. LaRouche, when you're communicating to the public, remember that process. You'll be extending a statement, a situation. You'll be obsoleting a previous situation, but retrieving other things at the same time, and then it will flip into something that is opposite in characteristics. That is the key to process pattern recognition and the key to the Book of the Subgenius before it was printed. And it's getting awful hard for me to, as a personal note, to put up listening to these tapes, because
I enjoy anger as much as anybody else, but it's just getting very frustrating to
hear.
Must
be trying for you.
To hear what Stang did. I mean, he had an opportunity.
But I think it's important to look at these tapes in their historical context, and, you know, like any good, balanced person should be able to view both the right and the wrong, and create his or her own picture of what he has seen or taken in, he or she has taken in.
But that's the principle of the user's content. That's obvious. That's going to happen anyways.
Yeah.
The user is the content. But the point is to understand that process and not identify with either response you have.
Yeah. Well, I have empathy with you, but I think it's important that we do run these tapes.
Yes,
And certainly for the public, I think for the listening audience, that they should get the taste of the subgenius, according to Stang.
Well, they are my archives.
Sure.
They are wrongly edited, but at least the archives are being exposed.
Very brave of you. You've been quite strong.
Well, let's move on.
Move right on to the tape. Okay, so we're going to continue this week with the Bob Attack media barrage. We'll be back before 6 o'clock. Okay. Sorry, not there. Welcome back to CKLN FM 88.1 in Toronto.
I had to stop there. That song, that last bit expresses my feelings.
A nice place to end, actually, on this week's...
This week, the reason we have a little time here to say something... The Harmonic Bob version was an incredible success. Unbelievable.
Tell us about it. I was up north, and I think I missed a good part of the harmonica convergence. Why don't you tell us?
Well, you missed the convergence, but you didn't miss the Bob versions. I mean, those virgins, they were little Bobbies.
I saw signs. I felt something. Perhaps you could explain what exactly happened.
Did you hear anything? You just saw, or are you visually biased?
No. There was a sound, a tone.
Yes.
Well, describe it to me. What was it, the Bob Virgins?
That was the consonance with the spit rant that I did on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Michael McGee might be listening. Anyways, the thing is I'm in such an incredible afterglow that I was willing to listen to a few more minutes of the tape today because I don't have much to say other than the excess, as was alluded to earlier by Follow Drummond in that beautiful song, which featured me on guitar and female falsetto. Mm. Right? That was beautiful.
Inspiring.
It was, that was real me talking. That was me. That was actual studio stuff from about 22 years ago. And it was beautiful.
It's ageless.
Now look, I didn't hit the mic. You hear, ping, you hear that? I don't know how that, it must come from the table.
Don't question it, Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Let it happen.
It's nice. Okay.
Good tone.
Now, what I want to say is, the reason we're on the air is that the X day is moving up to any point in the next few months. And that's why I have to get into the Secret Council of 10 to protect us from the... I don't like to think about it, but, you know, to protect us. And so we want the listeners to be not necessarily donating money or anything or writing up. It's too late for that. There's no more money left. Hot money rules. The point is to be listening every Wednesday to what may be the time and moment when process pattern recognition arrives and releases the phone number, which you are to call and get me in there. And I'm after this weekend, I think we can do it.
Okay. All right. I'd like to talk about hot money next week, actually.
We will.
All right. Thank you very much, J.R. Bob Dobbs, for returning once again this week for our session of the Church of the Subgenius. My name is Mike Dyer, and we will be back next Wednesday, 5:30.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
World watchers, entrepreneurs, represent the epitome of organized crime, but on an international scale.
Hey, Russell.
They seek to take over a whole nation. They do not hesitate to murder and destroy anyone or anything that gets in their way. G. Gordon Liddy is running training camps for terrorists. Klaus Barbie working for the United States, sending arms to Israel.
Every other Sunday at 10 a.m.
America's fear about the spread of communism through Central America led to considerable activity on the continent by the CIA, an American volunteer group that would kill 10,000 American citizens who were political left or fighting fascism. And, of course, John Singlau is now with the World Anti-Communist League in the Philippines trying to overthrow Corazon Aquino.
World Watchers with me, Russell, every other Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on CKLN, your only news alternative.